father the orphan. You father the orphan. Your kindness makes us whole. And you shoulder our weakness. And your strength becomes our own. You're making me like you. Clothing me in white. Bringing beauty from ashes. For you have your bride. Free of all her guilt. And rid of all her shame. And known by her true name. It is why I sing your praise. Will ever be.
There's an invitation this morning from the Lord to come. He says, come as friends of my Father. In the same way that you would invite friends to come to your place, the Lord says, I'm inviting you this morning to come. There's no expectation of being a certain way, but because you are friends of my Father, I say, come before my throne today.
Consider those words. Listen.
You are welcome here. Come in. You are welcome here. Your love is devoted like a ring of solid. Like a vow that is tested, like a covenant to hold. Your love is enduring, come through the winter rain, beyond the horizon, with mercy for today. Faithful you have been. Makes us whole. Your shoulder a weakness, and your strength becomes our own. And you're making me like you, clothing me in white, bringing beauty from ashes. You, 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 Father. us whole, and you shoulder our weakness, and your strength becomes our own. You'll make me like you, clothing me in white, bringing beauty from ashes. For you have your bride, free of all her guilt, rid of all her shame. We'll be right back.
though he's not far away, he is very, very close. He answers prayer. He is not an unrighteous judge. His ear is bent to listen.
Good morning. I spoke with three separate people when I came in this morning, and they all mentioned falling. So, you know, it takes me a while, but after the third time, I was like, okay, God, what's going on here? Laverne said he had had a slip and fall accident. And sometimes that's what we have. We slip up and we fall, and he catches us. So we prayed for healing. We're agreeing for healing 100% for Lee. And then my friend Pat came in with her hands loaded. And I said, do I have to yell at you like my mom? She said, what do you mean? And I said, she's always got stuff in both of her hands. And we're always saying, if you have nothing to grab onto if you fall. And the Lord says, sometimes we have too much in our hands. We're too burdened and too distracted, and we don't have anything to grab onto. But he's got that covered too. If that's you, just repent. And the last one was my dear Sadie, who was telling me an elaborate story of how she climbed up her sister's bunk. And she really wasn't supposed to, and she has a little shiner this morning. But God was faithful and protected her, and we're thankful for that. And initially the word I was hearing was that he will not let you fall, which is the truth, okay? Then the Lord led me to 1 Peter 2:8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. That's who Christ, either we're going to fall on him who's the rock, or he's going to fall. And it says, they stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. So if it's not just a slip and fall, if it's a disobedient, where you're choosing to disobey the word, it's pretty clear you're going to have a fall, and it's not going to be pretty. But that's not what God wants us to focus on this morning, because his grace is here, and his mercy is here, and his blood was shed for that. Just repent. Because it goes on to say, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. And it goes on, and you can read that yourselves. But Father, this morning, any places that we've slipped and fallen, Lord, we repent. Any place that we've taken on burdens that weren't our own, or too many responsibilities and distractions, and turned our hearts away from you, Lord, again, we repent. We thank you for your blood that cleanses us. In the places where we were willfully disobedient and disobeyed the word, disobeyed even the counsel of those who are over us, Lord, we repent and we turn to you and we declare that we are that royal priesthood this morning and that your glory would be seen through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, redeem, so mighty to save. You are the love song we'll sing forever. whether you've been a prodigal or an older son who's been at the Father's house but not enjoying the Father's presence, you are welcome. We are welcome. We are celebrated. We are wanted. We are invited. Thank you for welcoming us. We love you, we love you, and we come in. We come in, and we love you, we come in. We love you, we love your presence. Thank you.
I was standing in the back a few minutes ago, and I sensed the Lord was saying to us to keep a single eye, His eye, the way that He sees things in the season to come. He said there's things that are about to take place that are going to look to us like they're completely out of control, like they zigzag back and forth and have no direct path. But the Lord said, I'm the one that lays things out. What looks to you like a zigzag or looks to you like it's out of control is not out of control, because I am the Lord God Almighty and I reign in this place. So keep your eye focused the way that my eye is focused. And the destination that we are headed for remains the same no matter what it looks like. Because it's His destination.
When Keith brought that word to us, he said, I don't know who that this word is for, whether it's for a few, just to whom it's worth for, and should I release it? And I feel like the Lord says, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear.
Keith was sharing, I got whacked with a vision, and it was a vision of rainbows, just like a fire tunnel. You know the fire tunnels we go through sometimes, a fire tunnel of rainbows, just going on, and we know that's hope and promise. This is the promise of God, just to speak to our hearts today, that His promises are yea and amen. So I just wanted to release that.
I want to release hope. So I'm going to let you do that. But I want you to not just say, I saw it, but I want you to declare it.
Yes, I decree and declare over this house and over the nation. I declare hope. We will align with hope. Not what we're seeing, but what we know is the promise of God to us. I release hope into every life and into every heart, into every family, into every situation. Hope. We align with hope and the promises of God. He has promises that we haven't even tapped into yet. And we open the promises right now before us. They are yea and amen. Hope. 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 I decree hope.
In Jesus, all of the promises of God are yes. They're not just yes, but they're yes with an exclamation point and maybe two or three. Every promise of God is yes and amen in Jesus. I declare you have hope. Receive hope. I'm speaking to you in your spirit, man. You receive hope. You just do it right now. Receive hope. Where you haven't had hope, receive hope. Where you've had a little hope, receive more hope. Receive hope based on the promises and the character of your God. Receive hope. Step in. Step in. Step in. Okay, listen. Okay. You see, Jesus is on the end of that tunnel. He's walking us through the tunnel of His hope and His promises. Now listen, I want you to agree with me today. I don't want you just to agree with me sort of mentally. I want you to put your mouth open and I want you to say, I receive hope. Say that.
I walk into hope.
I will hear.
I will see your promise.
I will follow you into hope, into your promises, into every good thing you have for me. I receive hope. And I will obey you. Amen.
Right before Keith shared what he did, we were worshiping, and I had my eyes closed. And when I opened them, the Lord highlighted someone's hair to me up ahead, and because of the person sitting in front of me, I couldn't see the face of the person with the hair, but I knew the way the person was facing, and then their hair went a certain way. And the Lord highlighted to me, but I could only see like from their back, that it looked like that strip of hair, like their face should have been over here, not on that side facing that way, but over here. And I knew the Lord was speaking to me, so I started writing it down, and he showed me that it went along with Keith's word, I believe, that whatever we, like that behind here, it wasn't just behind, but it was like down. So he put on my heart, whatever you see out there forward, believe, like, in that place when you're with him is what he was showing me. What I'm speaking to heart, what I'm telling you, what the truth is in me. that went along, I thought, sort of what, with what Keith said, but what also he put on my heart, what I was jotting down, was that you're moving forward. You know, your face is going this way, you're walking this way. But the Lord is saying, as he showed me that other, right now, he wants you to come to him in that secret place, in that, in your prayer time with him, because he has things he wants to show you before you continue moving forward, walking forward. There are things right now he wants to show you, speak to your heart. So now come to that place with him, I felt.
All right, so I want us to marry these things together. Let's receive the word of the Lord. Are we accepting of the word of the Lord here? Is this a place where we receive the word of the Lord? Is that what we do? Okay, so let's receive the word of the Lord and understand that the call is, we have eyes that see things, right? And they go like this. We have those eyes. But we also have eyes that see him. Am I right about that? And his promises. And we declare that we are those who see with that other eye more than we see with the other one, right? Is that right? We're going to see him and we're going to go after him. And we're going to see his hope and his promise more than we see the ups and downs and the zigzags of life. Can you agree with me there? Say, I will see you more than I will see the zigzags. I believe you. You are true, Lord Jesus, and your promises are true. This is a scripture Dad just brought to us. Isaiah 40, chapter 40, verse 1. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Receive it. Now receive it again. Receive it again. Because it's not just for you, it's for you to release as well. Okay, so the message that we're receiving right here in this thing is a message to receive and to reproduce. Okay? It's called a sowing and a reaping and a re-sowing. Do you understand? It's a call to receive a message and receive enough of it that you got plenty to give away. You ready for it? Comfort, oh comfort my people. Speak kindly to Jerusalem. Call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Hear this as the word of the Lord to you. Are you hearing this for you? Make way, smooth it out. You've got the option to not just do it, but to release it. Hear the word of the Lord. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. Let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain, a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Say amen. Amen. Say, I receive it. Say, I receive it again. And I release it in Jesus' name. You are called both to receive and to release the word of the Lord. Amen. Ready for another declaration? Say, I am called by God. I hear His voice. I receive His voice. I resonate with His voice. I become His word over me. Say, I become His word over me. That which He speaks over you, you become it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Say, I become His word over me. And I cause my world to resonate with His word. Say, I cause my world to resonate with His word. Do you understand the process? Do you see the process? He speaks over you. You become in resonance with Him. Okay? His word. And then everything around you has to start wiggling in the same way. Understood? Because His word is over you to cause you to resonate with Him and to cause those around you to resonate with Him. Amen? Amen. Say, I am sent. I am sent by God. Therefore, I send.
Therefore, I send.
I send by God.
You
are an apostolic people and you have been sent into your world. You're an apostolic people because you have been sent by God into your world. You are an apostolic people, therefore you send in your world. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? This is the very vision, the center of who we are as a church. Okay, I want you to understand that you as a people are sent by God. And because you're that kind of people, you send by God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? Receive that as identity. Take it in. Go ahead. Say, that's who I really am. You are those who have been sent to send. Say amen. Alrighty. We've got us a couple of announcements here. That wasn't an announcement. That was just a truth. Okay? That was just a fact. Alright? Just letting you know who you are just in case you didn't know for sure. This next coming Sunday, my goodness, that happened fast. Next Sunday, Hector Santos will be with us. So just want to maybe increase a little excitement and expectation. We will expect to hear the word of the Lord through Hector on this coming Sunday. I'm looking forward to that. Those of you that don't know Hector, he's an area prophet, and we definitely expect to receive commissioning and sending. Andrea, what day is your surgery?
12 o'clock.
What day? Thursday, 12 o'clock. Lord, we just speak wholeness and your grace over this, your precious one. Lord, again, Lord, I declare over her, she is the healed of the Lord. I just release into her wholeness. Holy Spirit, fall fresh on her. We just declare that this is a vessel of honor before God. We just declare she is chosen. Thank you, Lord, that you have chosen to send her in places where most people don't go. And we just release your blessing. And now we declare healing over all part of her. Into her intestines, we declare, we speak wholeness in Jesus' name. We declare wholeness inside of these bodies in Jesus' name. And I want to include also Abigail, is that right? Abigail, in Jesus' name. Well, we speak wholeness into intestines. We speak right alignment with the kingdom of God in these guts, and these women's guts, in Jesus' name. Be whole. Come into alignment with the kingdom of God, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that you protect and you keep. And we are therefore protected and kept in Jesus' name. And we are grateful for that. Amen. Amen. Are there more announcements? I think we must have food pantry coming up this week. Just, you know, you guys just can keep on praying with respect to food pantry. It's good stuff that's going on these days. Just keeps on. God's up to good things in that arena. So keep praying and be faithful to come and to be part. Are you heavenly minded people? Are you heavenly minded? Are you? What's that? Are you heavenly minded? Do you have something in sight that you're after? The pleasure of the Father. Is that something that you're interested in? Are you heavenly minded? Yes, you are. That's who you are.
We're heavenly minded enough so that we might be earthly good.
You know what? That's how it works.
The only way we can accomplish anything good is to be heavenly minded. Let the atheists say whatever they will, but the truth is, those who have their heart and their mind set on Him become able to produce something good in the world.
I'm delighted to have Mom and Dad back home here with us. Isn't it good to have them back? Thank you, God. I love the impartation that we receive from them. It is a blessing. Just by them being for us, we have a delightful thing, and I'm blessed. A ruler questioned Jesus, Luke chapter 18, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Should he have called him good teacher?
And if you don't get the answer you're looking for, listen to what you do here, because you will have the answer to the question you should have asked.
Thank you. fulfill the law. Okay? And I'm not saying go figure out the law and figure out what you should do, because that's not it. He's saying go for the one thing, and he'll tell you where to go and how to do that thing.
And in terms of that sacrifice, but are we forgetting that God the Father had all of creation, but in a sense he had one thing, and that was his Son, which he gave up to redeem all of mankind?
You know, it's the same picture. You see, God doesn't ask us to do things that he's not willing to do himself in a real sense, okay? And he loves us like one thing, okay? But he wants us to love him like one thing. One thing. One thing. I'm going to just pause for a moment.
The message that I was prepared to bring is going to be truncated, and now you have your mic. I guess mine's not. Oh, what's wrong then? Oh. Thing that would have been better is to have been born in the Vatican, I guess, but by the time I was in my mid-teens, you would never have guessed that I was born in a parsonage. Early on, they tell me, which I don't remember, but they tell me that when my dad would kneel and pray, I would kneel beside him and pray. It was suspected that I would become a pastor, but by the time I was in my mid-teens, I knew better than that. I was a whole lot smarter than these people. As a matter of fact, in my teens, I said, you could not pay me enough to be a pastor. I had grown greatly in wisdom and knowledge. And so in my teens and into the 50s and 60s of years that you got, many of you don't even know about. You were not yet anything but a gleam in your father's eye. But in the 50s and 60s, I was pursuing the many things. I knew that being a pastor was not going to generate a lot of income. And so I had already decided that the one thing wasn't important, but the many things were. And off I went to accomplish the many things. And by the time of the late 60s, I was well on my way up the corporate ladder. I had a brand new home and a brand new car, a wife and 2.5 children. The half child became a whole child eventually. The whole child became the size of two men. Late 60s came about, and both Betsy and I began to be aware that the many things were not worth pursuing. Still working for the many things and having accomplished many of the many things, we found our marriage falling apart. And all the many things did not bring to either one of us the hope or the joy that the many things had promised. During that time, we began to seek the Lord, find out what the one thing would be that would bring satisfaction. And during that time, even though we were seeking, at least I was not finding. Betsy managed to discover the peace of God and hopped on board. And she had turned from the many things to the one thing. And no matter how hard I tried, I could not find the way out. During that time, we decided to do something, and I don't remember who decided. I think I decided because I'm always the spiritual leader. But I decided that we would begin to tithe. And so in a way, I would suggest to you that our spiritual walk began with tithing. I want to tell you that that was not the end. That was the beginning. We recognized that you could not buy your way into the kingdom of God. That would be absolute idiocy. But nothing else was working, and so we did the one thing that we knew we could do. And so we began tithing. I know that many teachers will tell you basically lies about tithing, and someday I will tell you more about this because we don't have time today. But tithing is the small beginning. It's like the law, even though tithing is not or was not a law. Maybe I need to tell you a little bit. One of the big examples of tithing was Abraham. And he gave his tithe to Melchizedek. Now I want you to understand something about the heart of Abraham in that time. His heart was, I don't want even a shoelace, not even a thread from the king of Sodom, lest he say that he made me wealthy. You see, the heart of Abraham was, the Lord God makes one healthy, wealthy, and wise. And his tithing was simply an indication that his one thing was out there and he was pursuing the one thing. And he threw away all the wealth that could have been his, rightly his. He had won the victory. He had restored the wealth of cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. But rather than take even one thing, even a shoelace out of that, he gave it all back. With the exception of some of his helpers got some things. But for Abraham, the one thing was to serve the living God. The one thing was to reap the harvest of his wealth, the wealth of the Almighty. He had no desire for the wealth of men and women, the wealth of this world. He had already discovered the one thing. Yes, it became a law in Israel. 400 or 500 years later, it was written. And people were called to tithe in multiple ways and give out of their increase tithes and offerings and to care for the poor repeatedly, to care for the poor. In Psalms, it said, he that shows mercy to the poor, he that gives to the poor, lends to the Lord, and the Lord will repay him. You see, the root of that instruction was one thing. It was focused on the Lord. When Malachi came along, about 500 years before the coming of Jesus, Malachi, whenever I teach this, I often talk about him as being Malachi. I want to make him an Italian. But Malachi talked about the promise of God. And I want you to hear what he said.
And then I want you to read the chapter. Do you know who Malachi was written to? Rebellious people. A people who have turned their back on God. A people who were pursuing their own lustful ways and had nothing to do with the Almighty. And a matter of fact, they said, why is it worthwhile serving Him? And Malachi came along and said, your mouth rots. Your attitude stinks. He actually says in the book of Malachi, would somebody please close the doors of the temple? He wasn't the only prophet that said that. And so I'm going to read to you just a little bit out of Malachi. Will a man rob God? You are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? Tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And see if I won't open the doors of heaven, blessing to overflow, rebuke to devour, and you shall be a delightful land. Tremendous promises. But that's not the one thing. I say to you, that is not the one thing. Three chapters, and now we come to the end of the third chapter, and here's what we read. Malachi is only four chapters long, so we've gone all the way through three chapters, and the end of the third chapter reads like this. Then those that feared the Lord spoke with one another, and the Lord listened to what they said. Interesting. The chapters preceding and even the third chapter is speaking to a rebellious people. And then the Lord began to take notes. And He took notes on the ones who feared the Lord. And in His presence, in the Lord's presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names. How about that? He began to write down the names. Jocelyn Zimmerman. Big Dave Osborne. Keith Kane. He wrote down the names. Do you suppose God forgets? I don't think God ever forgot a thing. I think He knows. But He wants us to know that He notes who is pursuing the one thing. And I want you to hear the feared. He wrote down the names of those who feared Him and who always thought about His name. And then He speaks. They will be my people, says the Lord. On the day when I act in judgment, they will be my own special treasure. And I will spare them as a father spares an obedient son. Then you will know the difference between the righteous and the wicked. Between those who serve the Lord and those who do not. Malachi spoke then, I want you to hear this. Of two things. One, about the tithe and the automatic promise of God, even to rebels, of blessings, of earthly blessings, of temporal blessings, which He will, in fact, give. But He also spoke of God's heart concerning His sons and daughters who pursue the one thing. I know that books have been written about tithes and offerings, but you'll never read this in a book because mostly people don't know what the scriptures teach. But I'll tell you what they teach. Yes, there is rewards and blessings for tithes and offerings and giving to the poor, but God looks on the heart. And the reward of eternal blessing, eternal destiny, goes to those whose hearts pursuing the Lord. And those who just dilly-dally with the stuff end up with dilly-dally rewards. Jesus said, except your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will no wise. What's the next two words? Well, that's more than two, but enter in. Enter the kingdom of God. You want to know something? When he says to the scribes and Pharisees, you guys, you do great. You tithe mint and cumin. Can you imagine the guy? He gets out the mint and he begins to take off the mint leaves. Oh, I'm such a good saint. Oh, one for God. One for me. Two for me. Nine for me. Okay, one for God. Oh, great. And Jesus said, except your righteousness exceeds the scribes and Pharisees, unless there's something going on in your heart, it's for nothing. Thank you. It's for nothing. It's all for nothing. Because time will soon be gone, and only that which is put into the kingdom is forever. Whether we pay our tithes or give offerings and alms or not, there is one thing that really matters. I want you to hear this. The eternal aspects of our lives hinge on the one thing. Is your heart stirred by the love of God to the degree that out of a heart of love you give to Him, to those in your world? Minus that, you're missing the one thing that really matters. Keep your money. Oh, I recognize. If you pay your tithes, there's a promise, even to rebels. And He's good for it. But I want to tell you this. Please hear this. Minus a heart pursuing and seeking God, even the blessings of God become a curse. Because you see, the blessings of God heaped upon us become the focus of our lives, and we miss the one thing. The natural world becomes our God, and we miss the eternal. The one thing must not be sacrificed. Whatever it is that God calls you to, let go of it all to embrace the one thing. I told you at the beginning of this that Betsy and I began our Christian walk, began with tithing. But there came a day when the heart was changed. There came a day when we both were very willing to jettison the stuff. There came a day when it no longer was the primary goal to collect and become more wealthy or have more stuff. There came a day when the blessings of God were set aside to know God Himself. Do you see the difference? And I want you to know that the difference is eternal. And it has an eternal impact. It should not be surprising then that after those years of stumbling along and entering into walking with God and 9 years of ministering in the school, that when we came out here, the message was essentially to hear and know God, to walk with Him. And that is the one thing that really matters. May that become the one thing that your heart is focused on. And I want you to hear that hear and know God. There is something that happens in the process. That is that we begin to love Him. The one who loves us begins to stir within us love. And even if the natural things of the natural world are not so evident, the one thing becomes more central and focused than ever. I recognize that if I had kept on with my job, and let's assume that I didn't get thrown out on my ear, fired, or kicked out, but if I had kept on, naturally speaking, I would today be a multimillionaire instead of a spiritual billionaire. There's not much choice. The one thing is all that matters.
I want you to sell all you have, give it to the poor, or whatever it is that God calls you to do, because I want you to have those blessings. And He does too. But let's remember that it's only through one thing that you do. Let's figure out the best way to do this. Please don't figure it out. Instead, pursue the one. And when gives you the extravagant thing to sacrifice, joyfully engage Him on His promise. Joyfully recognize the hope, the promises, and the blessings that are guaranteed because of Him. I want to say one more thing, and that is, you are those who are sent, and you are those who send. The reason you are where you are and you're doing what you're doing is because you are those who are sent to be this
coming, declares the Lord, when the plowman will overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him who sows seed, when the mountains will drip sweet wine, and all the hills will be dissolved. Truly, the Lord has spoken to you today, and has given you an avenue surrounded by promise and by hope. Receive that. Walk there. You are sent. Actually, as much as you are sent, you are beckoned. You are beckoned. Hither, you. Hither. Come, follow me, says you are the man. Your Lord. Your Jesus. Amen? Lord, I bless these, your precious ones. I release your grace. I release even a poured out anointing of your Holy Spirit to see with your eyes, to hear with ears that resonate in your voice. Holy Spirit, come fall fresh. Lead us, guide us, direct us. We love you. We love you. Been listening to this, the sounds, the beautiful sounds here. Are we singing You're So Good? Let me just say that if you didn't hear that, then hear it now. You're so good. That's the refrain. That's the refrain.